Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us today on this Memorial Day weekend. I guess we're in the middle of it now. And before we get started, I just want to remind listeners that just because we talk about certain tax rules and strategies or certain real estate investment opportunities, that you should always consult with your own current advisors that know your specific facts and circumstances before you take any action if you think you hear about something that appeals to you. And if you don't have advisors that understand real estate taxation, retirement planning and taxation, real estate private partnership syndications, and finally the zero tax math rules, then you're welcome to go to our website at beaplannershow.com, and there's a forms link there on the right side of that page, about a third of the way down. There's also a call link right there next to it, and if you will go to the forms page, fill out the first form, step one, it's a client profile. It'll give us enough information that then we can communicate with you on a phone call, and you're welcome to go to that next link and schedule a call. And we will try to give you some idea of how we might be able to sync up with your goals and objectives as it may relate to using real estate and or retirement funds to create significant additional wealth as you head to retirement. I want to also say that none of us hosts, myself and occasionally I have others on, are rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If you want or need that advice, again, strongly recommended that you engage a professional advisor. We take very seriously what we do in terms of helping you understand what you're signing up for, and it's definitely not a DIY scenario typically, and I'm often reminded of what the famous Houston-based oil well fighter, Red Adair, who's passed on now, used to say, and he said, if you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And it works or applies to tax advice, tax strategies, just as much as it applied to putting out fires on oil wells. And so, you know, you've effectively get what you pay for. And we, you know, are pretty experienced, 20 years now at least, in dealing with this area of real estate private partnership syndications. And it's not just the rules that change, it's the market dynamics. And boy, are we in a doozy market right now. And there's a lot of things that people say and do right now to deflect their track record. And we're going to talk about a couple of those. There's a couple of events here in the Houston area that, you know, I have clients that'll keep me abreast of you know, what's happening. And I'll tell you, you know, when you're in the middle of this industry and you know who the players are and you know issues that they have had, and then you see email blasts that go out and refer to only the wonderful things that may have occurred years ago, that's what they're peddling now, And, you know, you as a prospect, you know, you get an email talking about success, and you have no idea what lurks just beneath the waters, so to speak. And I tell you, I'm looking for this email right now. I want to just share some of the language with you. Let's see here. Let's see. And I'm absolutely not suggesting that you don't attend events like the aforementioned. I really think you should, because it's only through looking at multiple opportunities will you ever understand the nuances. And all I would tell you is attend and keep your hand on your wallet to make sure that you don't take action without understanding what's lurking just below the surface, so to speak. Let's see. I've got, is this it? I think it is. Well, I'm finding emails, but it's not the one that I was looking for. But anyway, the point is, when people talk about, and here's really the gist of what I was looking for with the email. I know the answers already to the points I was going to try to make. And what I'm going to tell you, and I don't care who it is, it applies to every investor platform that you may happen across anywhere in the country, anywhere on the globe. You're never going to hear about the deals that went sour or went south. All you're going to hear about is, well, you know, we come listen to, you know, so-and-so, the greatest syndicator of all time, and he'll explain how he took a beat-up old property and turned it around and increased the net operating income by, you know, 8 bazillion%, paid all of his partners, you know, many dollars. And I guess all I'm going to suggest is ask the honest, frank questions of, well, okay, that's one transaction, and that happened maybe, you know, 8 or 9 years ago in most cases. Probably didn't happen in the last 2 to 3 years, because in this market, if you pulled that off, you may have done it once, but you sure hadn't done it across the board. And I know for a fact this particular party who's being touted as the expert had one property foreclosed on, had another two properties that were on the desk doorstep that, for all I know, they may have been returned to the lender by now. But you won't hear any discussion of that, I'll promise you, and why you couldn't save those. You know, you're going to hear about a 9-year-old transaction, perhaps, that was wonderful, until you think through the math and realize, wait a minute, that took 9 years or longer to achieve. And then they don't talk about how much of the returns that got created were paid out to the lead partner, the syndicator. And when you strip those out, well, all of a sudden the various math metrics aren't quite as impressive. They're more normal, is what I'm going to suggest. And that would be a good transaction in most cases, but not a great transaction, and not in a current market with the headwinds that we have now. And so, you know, ask the hard questions. Ask, well, hey, have you ever had a transaction that had a foreclosure? Have you ever had partnerships that didn't pan out as the pro forma information had indicated, had thought would occur? And you know, see what the reaction is. Look at whether or not there's some sweat on the forehead, you know, of the syndicator at that point. And, you know, we all have failures. I mean, if you're thinking about doing business with somebody that's never experienced a tough market or a tough property or never had failure, you know, personally, I won't do business with people that have never experienced some hardship. I want to be able to look and see, well, how did they react? What did they do? How did they salvage the most or the best outcome that they could, understanding that everyone has failures? You know, I'm sitting here in the radio station that's owned by our illustrious lieutenant governor, and I guarantee you, you go back into his past, I remember. I was around back in the Love You Blue days, and I was around back when Nick's Fish Market was there, and you know, our illustrious lieutenant governor went through all that, and he lived to talk about it. The sun did come up tomorrow, and boy, did it ever, you know, and those are the kind of hardships that I want to do business with. And I appreciate when someone can look me in the eye and say, yeah, I did have failure, and this is what I did to try to fix it. And so I would suggest that those questions should be asked of every syndicator, sponsor, lead partner that you might deal with, and you've got to dial that in to your overall impression of that syndicator. And you've got to understand, what are they going to do? This transaction that I know has already been foreclosed on, you got a significant dollar amount of retirement plan money that was invested in that transaction. And how are those people going to be made whole? And I'll tell you, the answer is they're not, or most likely they're not. I haven't heard of any plan so far that the syndicator might have to do that. But again, food for thought, and you should just never assume anything you're hearing on the investment webinar or in the private placement memorandum is without question and shouldn't be scrutinized. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the start point. That's the door being cracked open for you to walk in, and if you don't go further on your due diligence and simply reading the private placement memorandum and trying to understand that language, and that's the problem. Lay people really don't have a chance to understand in this day and time what's going on. These syndicators are so far ahead of you in terms of how to portray things and how to make things seem as though they're not. And again, if you're going to any, if you're a member of any of these, what I call old school investor platforms, the travel agent of yesteryear is how I describe them. And you know, if you listen to the show, that they all have a role, I suspect. They all have, well, most of them have some value. There's a couple here in the Houston area anyway that I would tell you have, they are devoid of value, and I would just absolutely suggest you move on to other opportunities, knowing that there's issues with the market. And if any of these syndicators or lead partners are acting like, oh no, we've got the solution, we know how to play in this game, just don't buy it. And find out who's going to give you your money back when you have issues. And the answer is there is no one that's going to give you your money back. So it really puts the onus on your due diligence. And we'll talk when we get back from the break. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. We'll talk about how does money get made in a real estate private partnership syndication, and how does it find its way from the partnership into your account. Okay, we'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you,
When's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before the break, we were talking about the real estate private syndication market, and I was opining about a recent email that came across my inbox from one of the local old-school travel agent, quote-unquote, investor platforms. And by the way, I say that because it really is a very apt comparison. You don't need to join. Unlike what the platforms will make you think, they act like, oh, we hold the keys to all great partnership investments. You have to join our program if you want to get the good stuff, right? And I know the two biggest local platforms, they have weekend workshops, and, you know, in one case, it's a two-day workshop, and, you know, the first day, there's a lot of leaks of, quote, private information about how tomorrow, you got to come tomorrow to hear about the good stuff. You know, that's the partnership, the apartment opportunities. The first day is single family. And a lot of stories, some good stories. I've often said, and I was a member of that organization at one time. I paid my money, and I thoroughly enjoyed that two-day workshop. The gentleman that led that workshop, I referred to him as self-made millionaire, simply because that's why he refers to himself on his radio show here on this station. In fact, I think it comes on right before or right after my show, and I find it interesting that he's running ads right at the beginning of my show, which that can't be. I can't imagine why he would do that, but that's fine. In any event, he taught my two-day workshop some 21 years ago. Scary to think about it, and I will tell anybody within the sound of my voice that it is absolutely worth the price of admission to go to that two-day workshop. Very impressive and full of information. Some of it you really can't do now, these strategies, because some of them have had laws put in place. But nonetheless, he was in the room, I think, on most of those, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I learned a lot. And I'm going to suggest again, if you've got a choice between any other program out there that's local, I mean, it's, you know, here in this area that you can actually walk in at a class, I would heartily encourage you to go through that training. And that's the only one, by the way, that I know of in Houston that I can make that comment about. The other one, other large one, their workshop is a one-day event. They managed to squeeze down just the essence, I suppose, of real estate investing to one day. And I would argue it's because they don't know enough about the apartment market, the multifamily market, to turn the workshop into 2 days. And I'm being very serious. It's too bad. But in any event, I'm on a syndicator's website at the moment. I'm going to use this to, again, I'm not going to tell you which one it is. I'm going to review how they say cash flow, I mean, ultimately gets generated by one of these partnerships. And they managed to leave out a few things that I'm going to fill in the blanks for you on, because I don't want you to be fooled if you happen upon, and by the way, they're not the only ones. All these syndicators leave some things out. But anyway, these are the steps, according to them, how to get started. You join by submitting your application to their Passive Investor Wealth Club or Investor Club. Their exceptional team will take you through their onboarding process and set you up on our investor portal. Okay, and you know, they need to update information. I don't know that I would say any of this organization's team is exceptional. They're having problems just like everybody else. What they mean is a salesperson or a what we call investor relations staff member will be in touch with you to get you on your way to getting your money. They need your money to go do the next deal, which generates revenues for their organization, management fees for their organizations, profit overrides. We refer to the syndicator or lead partner's share of the transaction. You know, they may be doing a transaction that's $50 million, as an example. The lenders in this market may be providing as much as 60% of that capital. That makes the numbers easy for my tired old brain. So let's say the lender's putting up $30 million out of that $50. So that leaves $20 million for the passive investors to put up. So this organization and every other syndicator sends out their email blast and however else they do it. They have expos. They have special events, case study nights, all designed to get you further and closer into that net from which they can scoop that other $20 million that they're going to need to do this next transaction. And again, nothing wrong with that. It's just you need to be aware of the process so you don't fall prey to a what I'm going to say is a fox that's getting ready to raid your hen house. You want to make sure you understand what's getting ready to happen, and you want to be prepared by learning the math behind any decision you might decide to invest so that you can inquire about said math and you can scrutinize very carefully what's being said, and you can ask pointed questions for the syndicator or the investor relations staff to explain to you how their fees are going to be paid. Are they going to be, as one example, are they going to be paid up front? Are they going to be taken out over the lifetime of the investment? And at the same time, asking, well, when am I going to get paid? When are you as the investor going to get paid? And don't be surprised if you don't get paid until they've already taken significant sums of money out at closing when they first acquire the property. Because for some reason, the crowd today, this wasn't always the case, but the syndicator crowd today has rationalized to their way of thinking that they should be able to take on a $50 million deal, they're going to take at least $1 million minimum out of that transaction on day zero. And you're thinking, day zero? Well, when is the day zero? Well, that would be at closing. Okay, so before they've ever started operating the property, day zero, they're taking typically a minimum, and could be a lot more, they're taking 2% of that total project, the acquisition of the property, and an acquisition fee. That's $1 million, folks, on a $50 million deal. And you're probably thinking, well, holy cow, they must have all kinds of costs that they've incurred that they've got to cover, be reimbursed for. Oh, no, that's on top of the acquisition fee. The every dollar they think about, much less spend, will come back in the form of a reimbursement at closing on top of the acquisition fee and on top of maybe a due diligence fee, a capital raise fee, a debt servicing fee, construction management fee, if there's significant rehab, which most times there are. Most of these transactions have a heavy value add component. And so when you add all those fees up, and again, I'm going to refer back to the group that's got the current case study or expo, whatever you want to call it, I've seen as much as 5% come out on day zero of a, I'm going to say it was an $80 or $90 million transaction. That's a lot of money that's taken out of the deal. And do you think the lender is funding those dollars? Heck no. They're coming right out of your capital. So your $100,000 investment, I'm just going to tell you, on average, and by the way, I didn't mention the promote. The promote that's going to be the override in the cash flow or the distributions, the profits, is going to be typically 20 to 30%, maybe as high as 50% once they achieve certain metrics in terms of distributions made to the passive partners, then their promote may scale up as high as 50%. Could be even higher on some of the national projects. And so bottom line is, again, when you put $100,000 into a deal, you're lucky if even $50,000 of it is going into the hard cost of the real estate asset. In other words, the fees, what I call the soft cost, are chewing up, you know, anywhere from 35 to 50% on most transactions. Now, again, this all varies based on the transaction you're looking at, and this is why you have to be savvy to understand the timing and the source of when you're going to get your capital back. And that's essentially what we try to help you do. We understand how these syndicators think. We understand what their read between the lines language means. We understand where the various gotcha provisions are, like, for instance, the provision that is in every LLC operating agreement that you'll ever read that says, no matter what you heard on the investment webinar, no matter what you were told in an email, no matter what you read in the whatever document, sales document they give you, that the operating agreement, which you'll also be given, you'll be asked to execute it, and you'll be so worn out by that point that you're not going to, if you don't have professional help, you're not going to worry that you don't understand everything. You're just going to say, well, you know, this is probably normal. They wouldn't make any changes for me as a little investor. I'm just going to go ahead and sign it. And therein will be the point that you're in the net. You have been plucked from the waters, and you're going to be filleted and fried at some point. And then you'll realize, oh, gee, I guess I should have read this stuff or maybe had someone that knows what they're doing explain to me about what the terms of these documents are. And it's not, you know, I use one example about the fact that you all your partners and yourself will agree that this document, no matter what you were told otherwise, is the Bible, the operations manual of our partnership. And assorted indemnifications will be in there where you agree not to sue the lead partner unless he does something literally that's criminal. You will likely also agree in many of these transactions that the lead partner, in their sole discretion, can adjust salaries, wages of staff, including themselves, in these transactions. You don't get a say-so or a vote. You can't exercise your democratic right, so to speak, of, you know, expressing your displeasure, if you will, with the way things might have gone. And then the other thing that's cropped up in most of the agreements over the past year and a half or 2 years since the debt crisis has happened in this industry, where interest rates have ticked up, the Fed Reserve is or the Fed Board has raised the interest rate, the Fed funds rate now 11 times. And frankly, it doesn't look like it's going to go down anytime soon. If you heard the show yesterday, we talked about Jamie Dimon's opinion. Jamie Dimon's one of the smartest bankers in America, as far as I'm concerned. He's the CEO of Chase Bank, or J.P. Morgan. And, you know, it's going to be a while before we see lower rates. Well, what started happening about a year ago is I noticed we were looking at some transactions by one of the, I'm going to say, upper crust, you know, New York-based high-end syndicators, and I noticed a provision that was in the operating agreement called a side letter, and I thought, that's interesting. Read it, and what I deduced was that syndicator in his, it was a he, could have been a she, in his sole discretion had the authority to engage with a third party if necessary and take in additional investment. After the fact, you know, after the partnership was already up and running. In fact, I think that one was actually worded where he could have done it same time he was taking your money and he was tying your hands with all the provisions in the operating agreement. But in this case, he could approach a third party, cut a deal with them. You would have no input, no say-so in that transaction. He could provide them a better or worse deal. That would never happen than what you got. And then further, you had no ability to prevent the dilution of your ownership share that would have occurred as a result of that transaction. And that was unheard of until about a year, year and a half ago. And it's almost like all the securities lawyers or legal counsel that draft these documents must go to the same seminars, and they kind of keep up with the best practices, quote unquote. And then, of course, there's some one-upsmanship that may take place. And so now we've seen that in many, what I'm going to refer to as local transactions, like your old school travel agent type platforms that I keep referring to. And by the way, I don't want to leave a negative impression in your mind about the old school travel agent type platforms. I just want you to understand that in the day of the internet, just like we don't typically buy our tickets from travel agents anymore, we don't have to invest in partnership transactions through a funnel like, an old school investor mentor platform. You can invest direct with syndicators, many syndicators in this day and time. And it's a matter of just like you do with your airline flights. You know, there's no Google Flights site, unfortunately, that has every, you know, Google Flights has every flight happening around the world pretty much, at least most all major airlines, where there's no single source for cataloging all the syndicated partnership opportunities. There's several different pods or pools of transactions on certain platforms, but you know, they've all got issues, and none of them are willing, and this goes double for these local platforms, they're not going to tell you which syndicators had transactions go south in most cases. That would be cannibalistic to their mission, which is to separate you from your money on a membership, $20,000 to $25,000 up front, and then if they can't provide the capital, you know, through a conduit, in other words, they've got syndicators presenting transactions. And if they can't raise money from the membership, well, then the whole model falls apart. And you have to remember, in most cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, I should say, the presenter, the syndicator that you're listening to has paid a fee to the platform to put their transaction, quote, in play. Well, nobody tells that to you. That's not disclosed, among other things. And so you just have to have your eyes open. Don't believe anything you hear. If you think you heard it right and it sounds wonderful, one of two things. Either it's too good to be true, or you didn't hear it right. Or it's one of the rare cases where the numbers line up, the opportunity is truly an opportunity, still has the potential to find its way off the tracks based on unknowns. I mean, you know, the syndicators are humans. We're all humans. We're not magicians. We can't read the future. But don't act like you can if that's the case, because that's the problem I have with syndicators is that, you know, if they would tell you they don't know the future, of course, they have the legalistic language in the private placement memorandum about, well, you know, the history is no predictor of the future, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, they're telling you things that is kind of contrary to that. And I can assure you that when you hear syndicators being interviewed on the assorted radio shows and on YouTube, et cetera, there's, for every one you see, there's probably 300 or 400 more that didn't hit a grand slam, and in some cases popped up or struck out. And you don't see those folks mentioned on YouTube or on the radio on these shows. In any event, let's go ahead and take our second break, or our last break, and we will return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show. And we've been talking about how syndicated partnerships work, and I want to push forward and try to wrap up this concept here in our last 10 minutes or so. So we submit an application, in most cases, to one or more syndicator platforms, or if you join a mentor group, you'll have a couple options there. And then the investor relations folks will connect with you and get you onboarded further into their portal. And you can think of that in the fishing context of, you know, seeing a lure come by your head and maybe you're going to bite. But anyway, at some point you are going to bite, and that's when you invest your money. You're going to receive the syndicator's investment offering or offerings from time to time, and you, is what they say, will choose the best deals based on your investment goals. And I'll just tell you that there's the big unknown. That's the $50,000 question right there, is which ones line up with your goals. Are you in or near retirement? Do you need monthly cash flow, or are you still working and would like to see growth, and you're willing to take a transaction that might not produce any cash flow or distributions for several years? These are all things that matter, and you've got to sift through the legalese, 150 pages of operating agreements and private placement memorandums to determine how is this thing going to materialize. And then, and this is a step that I would tell you you really need to avoid thinking that this is how it works. The last step is relax. Sit back and enjoy the passive income with full knowledge you have an expert team supporting you along the way. And I'm going to suggest to you, it's not that that's not possible. There are some syndicators that I think would fit into that category, but I'll also tell you there's syndicators who I think of the one platform here in town that has the Wall of Fame, I think they call it, where they have pictures of syndicators that supposedly have been vetted and were successful. And I notice now, or I'm told, that some of those pictures, those photos, have been taken down off the Wall of Fame because there's been some shame that's come across those syndicators. And I'm going to suggest to you that now is a good time to inquire. You know, what does it take to get on the Wall of Fame, and what does it take to get off the Wall of Fame? Because you need to understand what happened so that you can avoid that mistake. In any event, okay, so let's say you've invested and now you've set back, and now we want to determine where does cash flow actually come from in a real estate syndication. And I'm going to, this article starts off essentially where I was a few minutes ago. Considering investing in real estate syndication, but you're leery that it sounds too good to be true? You're not alone. Many investors are shocked when they first learn about potential cash flow returns they could receive through investing passively in real estate syndications. What do we mean by passively? That means we as investors are not the ones finding the property, getting the debt lined up, raising the capital from other passive partners, rehabbing or renovating the units, hiring the leasing staff and the maintenance staff to basically take care of the property, to keep it full, et cetera. So you're relying on the team. That doesn't mean you're going to relax and sit back. It does mean that there's usually only one chef in the kitchen. So you're not going to be running the property, and you would be wise to vet all of your questions up front before you put your money in, because once your money is in the deal, there's going to be a lot less contact with you. You'll get reports, but you're not going to get a lot of phone calls returned in most cases, because the syndicator needs to be busy focused on running the property. Cash flow distributions. Now, this, again, varies by transaction, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to suggest this is a little bit aggressive in terms of it being a very rosy scenario, but they say that typically within the first few months after closing, you expect to start seeing monthly cash flow distributions, your new stream of passive income. That's not happening a lot in today's market, but anyway, we'll play along. But how is it that these investments are so lucrative? Where does the money really come from? Well, here's where cash flow comes from. Really, no matter the size or number of tenants or units, an apartment building is an asset that generates income as well as expenses. You get the monthly rentals in, and then you have not only expenses, you have mortgage payments, and those items are netted out of the income, obviously, to come up with cash flow. But anyway, so in the case of an apartment building, the main source of income is the tenant's rent that's due each month, and then the monthly gross potential is the number of units times the rent. So let's take a scenario where you've got 100 units renting for $800 each. That gets us $80,000 per month. That turns into $960,000 per year. Now, don't go get excited. That's not the part that's coming out to you. That's gross rents. That's before expenses. And that assumes you've got no vacant units, which that's typically not going to be the case. You're going to have move outs. You may not have new tenants moving in for a while. And you may see some transactions that have heavy discounts, first month's rent free, that kind of promotion. But in any event, vacancy costs, lost to lease, that's where your rental rates have gone up, but you've still got old units or old leases that are still matriculating through with older rent levels that decrease the potential income. And in any event, once you allow for that adjustment, you've got the net rental income. And in any event, the net rental income is where we've paid for most of the expenses. Net rental income is the net rent after adjustments for loss to lease. And, we've also added maybe some late fees. But it's adjusted, think of it as an adjusted income number. Then we have our operating expenses. Don't forget, you got all kinds of business expenses, maintenance, repairs, property management fees, cleaning, landscape maintenance, utilities, pest control, apartment or swimming pool maintenance. All properties are different. Nobody has the same expense structure, but in any event, assume whatever your total monthly expenses are, you total that up and, figure out, let's say in this example where we've got the $960,000 in net rental income after vacancy costs, we're down to $864,000, and then assume monthly operating expenses are $38,000, which you multiply that times 12, gets you $456,000 in expenses per year. And so our net operating income ends up being $864,000 less the $456,000. So $864,000 in net rental income less $456,000 in operating expenses, that gives us a $408,000 NOI, which is net operating income. And I'm going to suggest to you again, I said it before, this is a very optimistic picture that's being developed. And I would tell you, if you can find this transaction with this example, might want to consider investing in it once you can do your other due diligence to find out, are those rents real? Is that what this market, wherever this property might be, is actually able to get? Because this is a nice, well, could be a nice net operating number. Now, bear in mind, we haven't paid the mortgage yet, right? So now let's talk about the mortgage. We've got to pay the lender. And a commercial apartment loan, they're using an example where they put 25% down and they leveraged or borrowed 75% of it. In that case, it would provide a $20,000 per month mortgage payment. So that's $240,000 a year in mortgage payments. So we've got $240,000. We subtract that from the $408,000 net operating income we mentioned earlier, giving us a first year total cash flow of $168,000. And then that gets split, assuming that we had a deal structure where there was 80% in ownership interest going to the passive partners, the folks that just put money in, and 20% going to the sponsor, then you would split the cash flow, $134,400, to the investor, and the balance would go to the sponsor or lead partner. Now, there was no mention, you might have noticed, in terms of how much money was raised and how much came out in fees, and that's usually conveniently overlooked. And so very critical that you understand how much of your money is actually going into the hard asset that will actually generate this revenue. And that's it's got to be rational. And if it's not, if we're working with you, we're going to explain why it's not and suggest a few questions for you to go back and ask your lead partner. In any event, we're coming up to the end of the show. Don't forget, if you want to reach us during the week, feel free to text us, 713-581-0195. And we will be back on Sunday, 7 a.m., with another version of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we hope you can join in.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.